Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
So take it away. Was I naive to think that?
Not to be rude, but yeah, because he did give you a civics lesson. He showed you how the system really works, that when you take on power.
But I knew that.
But you don't. But you're not arguing like you do. When you take on power, almost all the time, the resolution is cash, because he doesn't have the power to regulate 32 billionaires. What he does have the power to do is show them how they did him dirty and how this, you know, certainly could have happened to others. You tie that in with their recalcitrance on concussion settlements. I mean, the NFL does not come out well at all here. The only thing they did was protect short-term interests about things that were in the depositions that they were afraid would get out and make their situation worse. That was, if you want to call it a win, that was it. But, and I'm going to hate using this analogy, but I'm going to use it. Jackie Robinson was the first African-American baseball player, but the major leagues weren't truly integrated until there were so many that it was truly a multicultural sport. There's got to be the first guy to do that. Colin Kaepernick was the first guy. If he didn't give you everything you wanted, maybe the next guy does, or the guy after that, or the guy after that, or a woman in the front office gives you that. I mean, there were women in the Carolina Panthers front office who brought down Jerry Richardson because he was a pig.
Right, he's a cheek pincher.
Yeah. It didn't take one woman. It took a number of them. That's how this works. And the naivete is that you thought that Colin Kaepernick was going to be, you know, Clark Kent saving the planet from Lex Luthor. And that's not real life. It's a lot of people fighting power when power does wrong. He's the first of many.
Al in San Francisco, here on 95.7 The Game. What do you got, Al?
Hey, D. Bruce, thanks for having me on. First off, I just want to point out why Larry Johnson was just 100% wrong. I think what people misunderstand is he was able to stand up for what he stood for, but the collusion was mostly about what they did to him. And so I guess what people were looking for was this big admission of guilt to where, what was he supposed to turn down $100 million for them to say, you know, oh, we did this, I'm sorry, when the evidence is in, you know, those sealed documents, you know. So, and for people to say that, you know, he was doing this for the money, one of the previous callers pointed out, you know, he quietly knelt on the sideline. The cameras and the reporters were the ones that went to him, and then the media, you know, not blaming it on the media, but we as the public blew it up into more than what it was. He didn't take a snap and run to the 50 and kneel. He sat there on the sideline and quietly knelt, you know, and then he just had to take on and make a choice to take on what it all brought, you know. So, but the collusion was about what the NFL had done to him. His activism and the collusion aren't necessarily hand in hand.
Well, and that's why his next move, I think, is going to be maybe the most fascinating move that he makes. More fascinating than the Nike commercial, maybe more fascinating than the "I didn't expect this to happen" catalyst moment that started it all. What does he do next? Is he ever financially attached to a dollar? Like, if all of a sudden, let's say a month from now, Colin Kaepernick is pledging, you know, several million dollars publicly, I mean, you could infer that that is just him cracking off some of the NFL's money back towards the cause that he's supporting. I mean, so how much will he be able to say? Because remember, there will be no further comment by any party that's part of the confidentiality agreement. How far does that extend to what Colin can say next? I think that's an element that people will be fascinated in finding out the answer to.
You're going to find out the answer to it, and it's going to be nonverbal. If you see him applying his money to a cause, you'll decide what that what the value of that cause is, and then that will determine it. Not everything has to come in a press release. Not everything has to come behind a microphone. Sometimes you just do a deed, and that deed will tell you. You just have to be patient enough to understand it's not going to happen on your timeline. It's going to happen on his. It's going to happen with his motivations, not yours. We are hard at work judging him based on how he's going to spend money that he rightfully received for having his football career taken away from him. That's what we're doing now. We're still not letting him up. It's, you know, if we want him to be the human exemplar for the 21st century, then fine. But ultimately, you'll be disappointed because nobody gets to be that. Everybody's got holes in their game. But if the first act he does with the money he gets from the NFL is, you know, open up a shelter, you know, help fund a school, does that suddenly mean that, oh, he used the money for a reason I agree with, therefore it's right that he got it? No, it's right that he got it because the NFL did him wrong. What happens next is entirely up to him, but he doesn't have to justify the money he received from the NFL by showing you that he's spending it in a way that you approve of.
Not that you could know this because you can't read the confidentiality agreement, which could contain the language, you're never allowed to play in the NFL again. Who knows? But unless that language is in there, Ray, do you think he plays football again?
No, because I don't know that it's in there, but I think the NFL...
If you were the NFL, would you have put that in there?
I wouldn't have asked for it because I'm working from a position of weakness.
But you get a much more powerful position once I show you the dollar on this check, right?
No, they...
I mean, that's when you start agreeing to things that you might not have agreed to based on this comma and those zeros.
The NFL used all the leverage it had just to try to make this not go to a court of law. I don't know that you can pay off somebody after you've committed collusion by saying, now you're going to help us collude. If Colin Kaepernick wants to play football again, that's going to be a team choice, but it's going to be done in a way that nobody in the NFL ever brings up his name again. Because clearly, that's how this blew up, is that somebody talked to somebody else and said, we can't sign this guy. Either that, or they said enough damaging things that the depositions reek for them. I think the safest thing for the NFL is to not say, we're never going, you can't play football. The safest thing for the NFL is just to say, okay, we're going to stay out of it from now on. And then the teams will make their own judgments. And none of those teams over the last 2 years have felt a compelling need to sign him, largely because it was directed by the owners before. But now they're going, how much trouble do we want for this? Well, I don't think they're going to ban him, but I think they're going to walk away from him. And he might walk away from them because at some point you got to go, do I really want to work for these guys again after what I know about them? I mean, I'm just guessing here. And if he plays football and he wants to play football, good on him. I think he's done with the game.
And Eric Reed, who was a co-plaintiff in this, is going to be playing in the NFL. He just signed a new contract. So they're not keeping him from playing. But what Colin does next, again, anyone's guess. Near scene, is that, did I say that right? In San Jose, near scene?
Miss Dream.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So my comments are, I'm feeling really conflicted because I actually have been boycotting ever since this started. And I was not a Fairweather NFL fan. I mean, I attended the Niners games and I was all in. But seeing how they treated him in doing a silent protest, it just turned me off to the NFL. And so today, just, you know, I'm still in shock at this and I feel conflicted. I should disclose, I'm a lawyer, so I understand people wanting to avoid litigation, you know, weighing their risks. And I know he, you know, he may stand to lose, they may stand to lose, so they come to this resolution. But this is sort of how corporate lawyers bully the little guys, right? Like, they back up a truck full of discovery and documents, and the lawyers are charging $500 an hour, so the little guy can't afford that, but the corporation can. So they fold and they just go away quietly. I think for Kaepernick, like the lady said earlier, you know, it's not like this was his issue. The police brutality and racial justice issue is an issue. It's still an issue, but he helped elevate it and gave a voice to it and made it sort of a global issue. So to go away so silently, to me, seems so disappointing. It's like he stood up for free speech and he was kneeling respectfully and gave voice to all these people. And then we kind of all don't get closure. Like, you're right. I didn't expect him to save the world. I didn't expect him to take down the NFL, but he's speaking for a lot of young NFL players right now that are getting paid and agree with him on principle, but don't have the luxury and, you know, to have their voice heard. So what happens to the next guy that kneels, right? Like, people will question their motives. What message are we sending? And with the Trump stuff, I don't want to go politics, but the idea that, you know, you never settle lawsuits, you're a loser, it kind of comes off like the bullies won, right? You know, Bob Costa is silenced because he made a comment about concussions. But Trump can talk about, you know, he's not sure if he would let his son play in the NFL because of concussion. So I don't know. You know, I listen right to the game because I'm a big, sorry.
And no, so, thank you very much. I mean, you bring up an awful lot of good points. You really do. And I think that there are people who share the way you feel a little bit let down, feel a little silenced by this conclusion. But like you said, you're an attorney and you understand that many, many, many instances, the noblest of causes avoid a courtroom.
Okay, but implied in her argument is the notion that this confidentiality agreement prevents him from speaking up on the issues that he was speaking up about before. And I don't believe it does. All it does is preclude either side from talking about anything that happened during the length of this case. I don't think he's prevented from speaking out against police brutality.
But we don't know. We don't know.
You can't buy a guy's constitutional right to speak. If he wants to speak out against police brutality or any other cause that he holds dear, he's still entitled to. I don't think this agreement can bind him that way. I think the agreement can bind him in terms of what was discovered during the course of depositions and everything else. That's what I think.
Much more coming up, including Larry Johnson, who we've reached out to after issuing such a spicy statement. He'll be joining us coming up in just a moment here on 95.7 The Game. Right now, though, the one and only Gianna Franco.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you along today. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've got a lot of people on hold. We're going to get to Larry Johnson here in just a moment. Larry Johnson appeared on TMZ reacting to this story about Colin Kaepernick settling with the NFL. And by the way, we have NFL Network on. Not a mention. I mean, not a peep of this. They're doing mock drafts on the NFL Network. And so, obviously, they're changing the page quickly. We are trying to examine this page from any and all angles, at least the angles the two white guys can bring to the story with Ray Ratto today here on the Damon Bruce Show. We admit to our, to who we are, trying to discuss a very sensitive topic. Larry Johnson, who had a really good career with the Kansas City Chiefs, 7 years in the NFL, two-time Pro Bowler, is not happy with Colin Kaepernick settling and agreeing to a non-disclosure where he cannot discuss what happened. No further comment by any party, according to the confidentiality agreement. And here's what Larry Johnson said that got our attention as it went widespread on TMZ.
He basically corrupted and diluted his message. First of all, if you don't go into an activism role, if your backdrop is going to be the African-American civil rights presence that it brought from the 60s, and you're going to use that for your own causes, you don't sell out. You don't turn your message into a Nike hoodie. You don't go in there with your afro puffed out and you go into the NFL offices and then walk out with this, you know, with this pro black era from the 60s t-shirts and stuff like that, just to get down to a point where you sign a deal that knew they were colluded, that knew that you had them on the ropes. It was a waste of time, and it just, they took a lot of people, a lot of young kids down the wrong hole by selling out your message.
That's what Larry Johnson said. Widespread on TMZ right now, and he's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game live. Larry, thank you for joining us. Appreciate having you on. Obviously, you feel incredibly let down by Colin Kaepernick in this situation. We've played the audio that you released on TMZ. You've had, I'm guessing, an hour or two to watch people react to what you said. Where do you stand now?
I still stand where I'm at. People who react to how I am are only going to react because I can't speak because of my past. First of all, I'm a grown man that can own his past in front of everybody, nationally, publicly, and locally. So that don't even make no difference on who says what and who does this. This is about a grown man that used the backdrop of the civil unrest racially in this country to help him promote a message that all he had to do was not accept that deal. He could have done more for the young players that followed him all the way down to high school who watched his message and was kneeling and not knowing what they were actually kneeling for. They were taking young kids from the high school to the college level, even into peewee, that were taking a knee, and this man has never met his father. He doesn't know his background. And speaking for me, I am a man who knows his father, who knows his grandfather. I can trace my lineage all the way down to the civil rights and all the way down to the Civil War. I know my background, and those men fought for this country. So I know the thing he's trying to do, he corrupted a message that was initially made for young black athletes and young black men to stand up for something. He walked into that office and basically let them have their way. He had them on the ropes. He had them in their hands. He could have took that deal and went to Alliance Football League. Every other player would have went with him. Other players would have went with him. He could have really done something special. But he chose to lay down for them, and now we will never know why or how it got to where it got right now.
As a practical matter, and I'm not a legal specialist, so I speak with a level of ignorance here. Given the fact that this was it was a legal proceeding, would he have been better off basically just letting it come to a full-on conclusion? And then we find out where the chips lie. I mean, because that's the thing that I continue to grapple with. It's they took the settlement for a reason. And what I'm wondering is if it would have been better to take this to the end and then risk the chance of losing, in which case you get the same level of disillusionment.
Well, let's say he keeps going. He takes it all the way to the end. We find out what really happened. When we would have found out that all the owners may or may have not all talked to each other to bar him from getting tryouts, for getting on the team, even the year Eric Reed. They might have all talked. If we would have known that was going on, okay, let's say that went on, he never gets back in the league. The Alliance Football League have already offered him $20 million. Now, $20 million off the money that you already made in the NFL, that is enough for a man with no kids and not married. If he is married, that's enough for that man to live on for the rest of his life. Some men don't get a chance to be double millionaires. So he's saying, like, say that happened. He still wins. He still gets to win. Now the attention and the marketing, the money, all the other stuff would have still came with him if he went to the other league, the Alliance League. He would have won. It makes no difference. He would have won. He went to the NFL and approached them. They had this deal going. Even if the deal would have just went away, he still had that $20 million that was offered from the other league. Now something must have happened, or they must have approached him with something so good and so grateful they chose him to sell the whole message out and everything he's done, the whole Afro puff, all the covers that he was doing, all the Nike sweatshirts and hoodies he would have sold. He would have gotten double that if he stuck true to who he really was.
Right. There's no doubt that he definitely co-opted a style and a look that he did not have before he went to this issue. So it sounds like to me, Larry, you And we're talking with Larry Johnson, two-time Pro Bowler, who had some very pointed words to Colin Kaepernick. Is there something that he could do next? Like, I think Colin Kaepernick's next move is a fascinating situation to monitor. Like, what he does next is going to, I think, reveal an awful lot of what is about to happen or what really did happen here. Is there something that he could do next, Larry, where you wouldn't be angry that he took the walk-away silenced money? Or do you think that this is just a non-starter for him culturally?
It's done. Culturally, whatever he tried to do, what it, that, it culturally is done. It was done when he signed with Nike to do the hoodies and do that apparel line. That's done. I mean, can you look? Take this back. Would you expect Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, do you expect great African-American leaders in the community to accept sneaker deals? You would never see that happen if they just don't march today if you sign this Nike deal. Don't march this other deal. Do this message this way so we can sell more hoodies.
The thing with the Nike deal, I actually thought that the Nike deal was enough money to get him through seeing this all the way to the end, to the car crash ending that you wanted.
But I thought so too. But ain't what his motto is? If you sacrifice everything, what did he sacrifice? He sacrificed a little bit just so he can get back some of it just to live. I mean, it's not he was poor. This guy was already making almost $40, $50 million as an NFL quarterback. You trying to tell me he spent that money that fast?
Well, I don't know how a man spends his money, but Larry, needless to say, your comments were so pointed. They had our full attention today. I appreciate you coming on today and talking about it a little bit more. You sound like you're pretty unsatisfied with the entire process.
I mean, I was. I mean, I expected more from it. I really wanted to see that he could have done so much more. There's deals that could have been on the table. Like, as far as, like, the Jim Browns or the old players, those players don't get the same health benefits and health insurance things that we get. He could have easily gone in and asked for that. Those guys, those are NFL player legends that were speaking about boycotting the ceremonies because they were fighting for their insurance right. They don't get the same benefits that we get. They don't get to go in and say, hey, football messed us up, and we had concussions, and we're going to get paid like I do. I get health benefits from the NFL. Jim Brown and guys like, you know, back in the day, Jim Thorne, all those guys don't get those chances to get those type of deals now. He could have fought for that. He could have done so much more than what he just did and just took the walk-away money, and now you don't know whatever was going to happen now. So,
Larry Johnson, thank you very much for joining us today. Appreciate you taking our call so quickly.
No problem. Thank you.
Larry, very pointed, very disappointed. And that's sort of the mentality that I've been trying to talk about existing out there, being upset with the resolution that you think is a clear admission of the NFL's guilt. And I'll agree with you. You don't pay off somebody huge unless you want them to make them go away. But the entire point of this for the NFL was to make it go away. And so that is how I think the NFL frames this. In the Billionaires Boys Club, back of the room, they're saying they won today because this does now go away. Colin, it feels like the most value Colin Kaepernick could have had to his own brand, which is the brand of this issue, would be by being a martyr. Martyrs never go to true martyrdom when they're taking a huge check to their own bank account. And I just think that that is what has Larry Johnson so upset, because he isn't a martyr. He got paid off to walk away.
Okay, but did he walk away? I mean,
I don't know yet.
See, that's where, you know, absolute statements on either side don't make sense, because we don't know what comes next. Does he take that money and you know, again, turn it into something that can actually reduce police brutality in some way? I don't know. I never painted Colin Kaepernick as the be-all and end-all cultural hero of the generation.
So many did.
But that's because, again, we want the instant gratification that comes from, this is the hero for our time. You know, Marcus Garvey, you know, isn't a really apt analogy here. Neither is Martin Luther King. Neither is Malcolm X, in my mind. Because there were never any options like this for them. I don't know that, you know, by propping Colin Kaepernick up on a pedestal and equating him with them makes a lot of sense to me. I get why some people will be angry that he didn't take it to the mat, why he didn't go all the way and say, nope, I'm going to do this. Because ultimately, this case wasn't going to be about the evils of police brutality or the evils of social injustice. It was going to be about whether Colin Kaepernick could play football or not. And that's how it was going to be framed had it gone to the end. The end of what Larry Johnson was talking about, in my mind, is a massively societal thing that has to change on every level. The NFL can't fix police brutality simply by saying we shouldn't do that anymore. The NFL's terrible at messages. The court case wasn't about that. The court case was about whether he could be allowed to pursue his career. Now, if there were things in the deposition that tied them politically to, you know, right-wing sympathizers or, unraveled sort of this nest of hate groups that were involved somehow with the owners or the NFL, and I'm not saying I have no idea, you know, then I could see that argument. And only Kaepernick and probably not even him. Only Garagus really knows that, and the owners who spoke up.
Can you get us Mark Garagus?
Yeah. If you could find that, then I would say, you know what? Yeah, he didn't do right in the end. But ultimately, this case wasn't going to be argued about that. It was going to be argued about whether Colin Kaepernick was unfairly kept out of the National Football League. That's not a social movement that I particularly care about one way or the other. In fact, he's probably better off never playing again because those are a lot of hits to his brain he won't take.
888-957-9570. Again, we got a lot of people who want to talk about this. Let's say hello to Lewis. Lewis in Oakland. How you doing, Louis?
How's it going, guys?
Great
well. Discussion.
Thank you.
You raise the question of what Colin does next. To me, that's the important question. He's won his case, but if he takes and gives $10 million to Black Lives Matter, to Black voter registration, then you don't think those 32 billionaires just got kicked in the ass? I do. He's not going to bring them to their knees, but he's going to make changes in our society with that kind of money. Money's a powerful thing in the society. If it goes to the right place, it can make change happen that taking the court case to all the way to the end may not have had it happen.
Yeah, I mean, someone's got to pay the bill, and money does that better than anything. Like I said, the next move for Kaepernick will be fascinating. Right?
Yeah, no, Kaepernick kicked the NFL's ass. The only argument here is whether he kicked a sufficient amount of ass to please whoever's out there. And some people will not find this satisfactory, and that's fine. But this was in no way a win for the National Football League at any point, except if you call a win minimizing your exposure, because that's all they get out of this.
Right. Well, they let their rear end hang in the wind on this issue for the better part of 3 years.
Well, that's because they're really good at that.
They certainly are. Yeah.
Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And eventually, you know, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered.
Dan in Oakland. Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. Dan, welcome to the show. Dan, are you there? I guess not. Thank you very much. Justin in Vallejo. How are you, Justin?
Hey, good. How are you? Great show.
Thank you.
I'll try to be as brief as possible. Respect to Mr. Johnson. He was a great running back. Had a very interesting perspective. I think it's great for both parties. Not great, I should say. I think it's a way that both parties can walk away with something. Kaepernick, again, is a person that in college was throwing the ball 96 miles per hour from the mound. He had multiple options. He chose football. And, you know, rather the situation of him standing up for some type of validity of how people have been treated by society, that's, again, all up to him and what he wants to do after and whatever he wants to do with his money. But again, this just shows how powerful owners are in the NFL. I think he didn't necessarily win. I don't think he necessarily lost. But I do believe he has made it very revealing of what the NFL or how the NFL operates in certain situations. Rather, he should kneel.
I think that's just in what people are a little bit disappointed about because, you know, like if your point is he was revealing what the NFL's operations were, well, he was about to tear the cover off of that publicly, exposing it in a way that I know an awful lot of people wanted to see happen. Now we don't get to see that portion of the show. Say that we want our blood sport, that we want to be entertained by this whole thing. Yes, I believe there is an aspect of the audience that is just here for the car crash. But I think that there were people here for the results as well. There were people who were watching this for noble reasons. And I don't know. I the one African-American gentleman that I got to ask point blank about this when I was walking into the studio as he was walking out of it was Daryl the Guru Johnson. And I just said, Daryl, look, this story means a level to you that I cannot connect with it on. I'm not a black man. What does this mean to you as a black man? Are you a little bit disappointed by Colin Kaepernick? And unquestionably, he was. He was. And I look at this whole thing play out, and I feel a little unsatisfied by it. I know that you're Ray declaring it a huge win, and in many ways it is. The NFL, with a huge dollar amount, made something go away today. But they made something go away today that I think people put so much importance on that there's no dollar amount that justifies it. And I just think that is the mental hurdle that a lot of people are having trouble getting over, and maybe I'm having trouble getting over.
Without us knowing what was in that, in those depositions, we can't make that assumption, though. I mean, because ultimately, we don't know if the NFL caved because they had owners saying, oh, yeah, we met. Or there's something else in there that they find far more damaging that speaks to the things that Larry Johnson spoke about, that speaks to the things that maybe Daryl thought this was going to go. That's the thing about the entire Kaepernick phenomenon. It grew almost too fast for anybody either to understand it or to control it. It became whatever anybody wanted it to be. And it became that at an incredibly rapid pace. It was almost like the Big Bang. It just, boom, all of a sudden,
wildfire.
The universe is fully formed. And there's a million opinions about what Colin Kaepernick did. And most of them have nothing to do with why he did it. That's the point. We morphed this discussion into what we all wanted it to be as individuals, which is why the catch-all argument that he either, you know, that he somehow failed to finish the job misses the point to me, because nobody's ever defined what the job was. Was the job to prove that the NFL kept him out of football? That was most of it. Was the job to prove that there was police brutality in America? No, because we already know that. You know, it just, there are instances of police brutality that happen, you know, all the time. We read about them. We see them. It's what did you think Colin Kaepernick was supposed to be? That's where all these arguments fall down. Because the only person who knows what Colin Kaepernick thought he was supposed to be is Colin Kaepernick, and he has chosen not to define himself for our convenience.
In 3 years, he's basically remained very publicly silent on this. I can't think of.
But everybody else has been shouting about it. So the effect is the same. It's almost more effective that he didn't speak, because this has been the conversation that has turned into a mushroom cloud.
Mushroom cloud continues today. maybe this was conclusion for the NFL in terms of its legal case, but there's obviously nothing concluded here. We have much more still coming up. Ray and I are on until the end of the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to take you up to 6 o'clock tonight here. We bumped the show up a little early for all the vacation scheduling that's going on. And if you're saying, hey, Damon, what about Bryce Harper? I'm sure he'll be in Scottsdale on Monday because that's when I go to Mexico on vacation and major news breaks whenever I go on vacation. So we'll wait till then. I've got somebody saying, Damon, are you going to keep on talking about this? Yeah, we are going to be talking about this because this is the big story that broke today. And it's like this or Steph Curry getting ready to go to the 3-point contest in Charlotte, which
or Bryce Harper not signing anywhere
is a cool story. And yeah, there's that, too.
Yeah, that because that's not a story till he actually does something. It's a talking point, but it's the same talking point it's been for the last 6 months.
Amen. He's right. Back in a moment.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Late edition announcement to the show. Michael McCann, who is a Sports Illustrated legal analyst and staff writer, is going to be joining Ray and I in about 45 minutes from now, 5:30 tonight. We're looking forward to that conversation as we continue to kick the can around the NFL settlement with Colin Kaepernick today. From the Chilton Auto Body text line, we got a lot of people who are, you know, upset and you know, say that, you know, I'm not sure which African-Americans, Damon, that you've spoke to, but as an African-American whose friends are African-Americans, we see this as a victory. Colin did enough. It's time for someone else to stand up. He got Jerry Jones to lock arms and kneel with his entire team on TV. Change happens in small increments. Well, I can tell you that the week after Jerry Jones got his photo op, he basically issued the statement that anyone who kneels in front of a Dallas Cowboys game isn't going to be a Dallas Cowboy ever again. So you say that change happens in increments. I'll say that photo ops happen in increments that come a lot more frequently than change. And Jerry jumped into one. And Colin might have been able to make Jerry jump one or two more times if this had actually seen the light of day. But that does not happen now. And where Colin Kaepernick goes after agreeing to a confidential agreement, so there will be no further comment by any party, I guess we don't know how far that extends into the real conversation. That is why we're all here talking together today. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Buzz in Dublin. Buzz, what do you got?
Oh, yes. What's happening, guys? Enjoying the show. Damon, I'm a big fan. So I'm going to put it like this. So obviously this is a very, very polarizing situation, and there's going to be people that are going to be happy, unhappy, regardless of the turnout. I got to say, you know, with this, everything that Colin did on the net, was it good he did what he did, or if he just never did it, you know, would we be better off? I think the fact that Colin took a stand, that Cap, you know, he had the courage to do what a lot of people can't do. A lot of people think about what one person's going to say, let alone a whole country. And now we've got a bunch of people that are criticizing Cap for not taking it all the way through. I think in some sense Cap did his job. He did his job because he's forcing us to have the conversation about equality and equity and social injustice. So for that, my hat is off to Cap. And I think we should all, you know, just be appreciative that we have people like him that are courageous enough to alienate himself from parts of the country to take a stand so that we can have these conversations.
Great call, man. Thank you very, very much. Got Brian in San Jose. Brian, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Phenomenal conversation. Love Cap. I definitely can understand Larry Johnson's point. But you guys, has this ever been brought up? Because, you know, if you think about it, large corporations, when they're stuck in a corner, what are they going to attack? They're going to attack credibility. But hear me out. Is it possible? Is it possible? And I hope to God not. But is it possible they had something potentially incriminating evidence, some kind of something? I don't know what. And I hope there was nothing. But, you know, now that Pandora's box is wide open with this non-disclosure, it's like anybody can think anything, unfortunately.
Right. You can project whatever you want to on the outcome because the two
right.
The two principal parties have walked away to never discuss it again.
Yeah. So, exactly. And it's that sad. That's sad. He went so far, but to Ratto's point, he didn't even know what the conversation, I mean, he knew what the conversation was about, but he didn't know how to take it. I don't think he knew it was going to go this far. I don't know. And so I think the box is, it's just the, I don't know, I'm frustrated, and I hope to God they didn't put him in a position that he had to take the money because they had something on. That's all I'm saying, because the NFL is dirty, let's be honest. And did they have something happen? You know, did they, you know.
Brian, look at it this way. Your phone call is the very point that you're refuting. It leaves speculation. It does, and people are going to put on this what they want to.
Yeah, but if they had something on him, why would they pay him a dime?
Exactly. I mean, at some point,
we're not going to know anything, but at some point you have to let your logic play through here. It's not, it makes no sense in my head for them to say, well, we've got incriminating photos of you doing something unspeakable. Here's $80 million.
Right. That's not the way it works.
I mean, yeah, golden parachutes happen to people in big offices. They're not distributed by people in big offices. Ooh, by the way,
on an
unrelated note, Matt Kuchar has settled with his caddy. Come up with the full $130,000.
He cracked off the 10% after all. Way to go, Matt Kuchar. Yeah. It only took the entire world and all of social media calling you a cheap screw to get you to pony up the right dollar amount.
So, yep, it's, yeah.
By the way, Ray, if anyone was scoring at home, you can chalk that up for a win for us from yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think of myself as a fighter for justice, even though everybody else on the planet had already made that case.
Let's go to Richard in San Jose. Thank you, Richard. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon. Thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is because I honestly believe that Cap fell, you know, backwards into this fight, and he didn't actually know what he was getting himself into. I'm a huge 49ers fan and wanted him to succeed more than anything. But after a couple of years, the league figured him out. He had zero touch on his passes. He was skipping passes to running backs in the league, he couldn't get the plays in on time.
Right. That game in Chicago was awful. I mean, it really was.
And he had like three interceptions on six passes or something crazy like that. If you look at his social media before when he was succeeding, it was all shoes. It was all parties, jewelry, nice things, cars, everything like that. But as soon as he stopped being considered the next greatest quarterback, that's when he wanted to make this statement. It was pretty clear to me at that time that he was just trying to stay relevant, and he chose this subject, which is obviously a huge subject, and he fell backwards into it. He didn't know how to handle it, and he settled because he didn't really want this responsibility anyways from the beginning.
Well, again, Richard, thank you very much for the call. I don't know, but if I could sodium pentothal Colin Kaepernick for one thing, what I would want to know is, you know, you started your protest without drawing any attention to it. It took a media member in a press box pointing out, hey, the national anthem is playing, yet the guy wearing the number 7 jersey is not standing at attention. As a matter of fact, he's sitting on the bench behind his entire team. One of the things that I would want to know is when Colin finally was recognized protesting. I know that he wasn't protesting the anthem, but when Colin Kaepernick was recognized sitting during the anthem and the very first question was asked of him, did he have a sense of relief about him, or did he have a sense of, oh no, they're on to me? Like, did when he was initially asked about it, did he think to himself at all, finally, I've been doing this for weeks now, and somebody finally asked me about it. Now I can really go on the offensive.
Yeah, I don't know what this sense of relief would be that you were referring to, because, you know, I mean, it was going to go, oh my God, I'm ratted out. You know, well, if you're worried about being ratted out, you wouldn't do it to begin with.
He was waiting for somebody to, I mean, he didn't say anything about it. Was he really waiting for someone to ask him about it?
I think he knew somebody would. You know, I mean, it's the fact that he did it and didn't jump up and down in week one and call attention to, hey, look what I did, tells you that at least on some level to begin with, he just meant this to be something that he intended to do.
I'm not agreeing with an awful lot of what the last caller said.
Well, most of it's nonsense.
Well, I will agree with this, though. From a Twitter timeline standpoint, the public image projected by Colin Kaepernick before this moment and then after this moment, it is a 180-degree turn in terms of content. It really is and was. And I'm not saying that he's guilty of anything. We can all grow, develop a taste for a cause or an issue that on Wednesday we really supported, on Monday we didn't know much about. But there was a clear, clear different Colin Kaepernick being presented to the public that almost flied in the face of conscientiousness. And then it was ultra conscientiousness.
And once again, we're blaming him for what the public did. Because we don't know when he decided that this was an important enough issue to him to sit for the national anthem. All we know is the first game in which that was available to him was one when he sat down. And then he sat down the next week as well. It wasn't until week three when he was wearing a jersey did anybody notice it. So we don't know if this was suddenly, oh, on Monday I was fine with the anthem. On Wednesday I decided it's the force of evil. I mean, we want simple answers to things that aren't simple. And I don't know how that ever gets changed. It's just, this is what we want, and damn it, this is what we're going to have. And if we don't get the simple answer, it's his fault, not ours. You know, we so desperately want this to be tied up in a neat little bow that the idea of nuance or slow development is offensive to us. Well, that's life. You know, deal with a timeline that's presented to you, not sit there and try to enforce one based on what you need. Again, I'll just keep going back to it. This is not an episode of Law and Order. This is not a two-hour movie. This stretches out over time. And when it goes to the legal, it stretches out over years.
Dan is in Oakland. Dan, you're on with Ray Ratto and Damon Bruce.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I think that the whole collusion thing, it sets a bad precedence for society that you can behave badly, or not just behave badly, but you can do things at work or act a certain way at work or put off a certain image at work and then not get fired for it. He was never fired. He opted out of his agreement so he could try to make more money and then wasn't hired by another team. My job right now, I tweet something out that's controversial, not part of the public opinion, or against somebody that I don't like, which isn't popular, I could be fired for it and not get another job. This man already made millions of dollars and took a knee for something that he believed in. But you have people like, you have another athlete who had other issues that he believed in. Well, it was Tim Tebow. He was the only quarterback ever to win a playoff game to never start again or never play again even.
Well, I mean, look, I don't want to kid.
Let's answer his question.
Okay.
Was there ever any evidence introduced that owners got together and said, we have to keep Tim Tebow out of football?
No.
That's the difference. It's not that Colin Kaepernick never played again. It's that owners apparently met together in concert and said, we have to keep this guy out of football. One is a collective judgment. The other is a crime. That's the difference. Unless somebody shows me that several NFL owners said, Tim Tebow's bad for our brand, we can't let him in anymore, then those are two different things. They're two radically different things.
Tim Tebow was bad for the forward pass. He was not bad for the brand.
Okay, but being bad for the forward pass is still not illegal.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I mean, if it was illegal, Blake Bortles would be in jail today.
Yeah, CJ Beathard would be locked up somewhere right now. 888-957-9570. We got one more hour on the way. During this hour, we're actually going to announce who our winner was of the Vegas getaway to go see Aerosmith on the Strip. So if you're one of the 20 qualifiers, you're certainly going to want to stay tuned right here to the Damon Bruce Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Thank you. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.